It can come from deep jealousy. It can come from being promoted. See, that, believe it or not, that was jealousy, because they were having a party and they used me, but I wasn't invited. So jealousy doesn't always look like, oh, I wish that that was my boyfriend or my girlfriend, okay? That's not, envy and jealousy are very close, okay? And one of the teachings is envy is wanting what someone has. Jealousy is wanting to be who someone is, okay? Envy is wanting what someone has. Jealousy is wanting to be who someone is. And they both can be pretty much interchanged. They both are evil, okay? Now, we come into a world of contention. Contention, once again, is striving to be superior or not be inferior, okay? And the teaching on that is powerful, I'm telling you. It will change your whole life to get free from contention. Let me go to this one other scripture. We'll talk about that a little bit. This is such a powerful, powerful teaching that I just can't do it in 5 seconds. And I really encourage you to get some of the other things. But go to James 3:14. James is a powerful book. If you want to know why you have trials and problems, really study James. That's the Holy Spirit to teach you James. And forget all the doctrine of men you've heard. And really listen to James, and you will find out why bad things happen. You'll absolutely, he tells you, it's not hidden. It's not a big mystery. You'll find out when you get to heaven. You can find it out by reading James. All right, James 3. All right, let's go. Let's go at one. I like to put it all together. My brothers, do not be many teachers, knowing that we will receive greater judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is mature, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the mouths of the horses for them to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships being so great and being driven by violent winds, they are directed by a very small rudder, which is like a tongue, where the impulse of the one steering the purposes. Your tongue is powerful, folks. Your tongue sets the course of your family, your relationships, this church, unless I cancel what your tongue is doing and saying in Jesus' name. Your tongue dictates what's going to happen on your job and everywhere. You do not realize how much power and authority you have by what you speak and what spirit you're speaking from. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how little a fire kindles, how large a forest. The tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. In other words, all the sins, even of your forefathers, can come out of your mouth as you speak. You, more than likely in this room, have never been a slave in your entire life. You might feel like it sometimes. But you really have never had chains on your ankles and someone telling you what you had to do and beating you and doing whatever they wanted and you had no choice. There's probably not a person here who can say that that was their reality. But that tongue, that iniquity, that hatred from something that happened to someone that you might not even know or ever known can go from generation to generation and cause you to be full of hatred instead of just dealing with it. But you could have a mother who used her tongue to tell you how horrible your father was, how horrible your father was, how much he didn't love you, how much he wasn't there for you. And the iniquity, which is the sin of her sin, her hatred, gets into your life. That tongue has caused you more harm and has passed on more harm. If you've got entanglements in your family, if you've got rebellious kids, if you have people who hate the church and hate the Lord and hate this and that, your tongue is probably a key reason behind that. Don't you just love Tuesday nights? happy time. Whew. The tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, spotting all the body, inflaming the course of nature, being inflamed by hell. Satan loves to get a hold of your heart because from a heart you speak. And when you speak from what the enemy has done, you release hell on earth. You set the course of your family. You set the course of your marriage. I remember when God started getting a hold of me about my tongue years and years and years ago, first thing he said is, quit talking negative about your husband, no matter what. I don't care if it's your sister you're talking to, your dearest friend. It doesn't matter if it's somebody who doesn't even know him. Quit talking negative about your children. Quit talking fear. You don't get it. You are, from your fear, you're releasing fear. What do you do then? Go deal with your fear. God, get this fear out of my heart. Go deal with your hurt, your anger, and your bitterness, your racism. God, get this out of my heart. You should have been in this church a few years ago, right, Marion? When God decided we were going to all tackle racism together as a group. Oh my gosh, the atmosphere in this place. And who was here? It was scary, wasn't it? Hey, there's still pretty many here. And all of a sudden, it started up, and all of a sudden, God said, don't back down, go for it. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, and everybody had to talk. It was like, well, I got thrown against the wall just because I was white. Well, I had a cross in my, and it was like, and somebody called me racist, and I'm like, ooh, and somebody who didn't even know us, who never came back, said, she's not racist. I've heard her on the radio, and I'm, you know, we're like, but you know what we did? We busted through, and we broke the power of iniquity from our forefathers and from experiences, and we dealt with stuff. And I don't know this. And after that, the Lord brought in so many different races and different people in this place. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, the whole makeup of the ministry changed because we dealt with it. Head on. It was scary. The tongue is a fire, the word of iniquity. So the tongue is a set among our members, spotting the body, inflaming the course of nature, and being inflamed by hell. For every species of beast, both indeed the birds, creepy things, and sea animals, is tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one of men is able to tame the tongue. It is, listen to it, it is an unrestrainable evil, full of death-dealing poison. We have an entire teaching on how the tongue is full of death dealing poison. Do you know you release death dealing poison when you come in agreement? You release death dealing poison when you come in agreement with doctors who give you a bad report. They don't mean till they're just telling you what the devil's up to. That's it. When my son had to be at doctors, I had to get to a place to realize this doctor is telling me what the devil's up to. The psychiatrists are telling you what the devil's up to. But then you got to go to God and say, what do I do about this? You don't pretend they're not saying it. And you don't pretend the devil's not up to it. That's called pretended faith. If you get that eviction notice in the mail, it's telling you what the devil's up to. Don't pretend it's not there. And then get bitter and disappointed. Why did God let me down? He didn't let you down. You just didn't ask him. How do I get out of this? How do I repent? What's going on here? Just what I'm saying. The tongue. Get this. You think you're just screaming at your kid and they deserve it? No, you are releasing death. You think you're just kind of chit-chatting about your marriage? No, you are releasing death. That's on one of the teachings. Maybe, I don't know, maybe on one of the ones I just mentioned. That's good news in the sense that I can change that. Not by just shutting up, because you can release it passively with your thoughts and your murmuring. Murmurers are just people who won't say it out loud. Still being released. Sometimes it's harder for people to help you because you've shoved it in. You know, death, that death poison, if you don't let it out at somebody else, it's going to come in and kill you. Still in there. Still powerful. All right. Full of death-dealing poison. We got a whole teaching on that somewhere back there. By this we bless God the Father, and then we curse men having come into the being according to the image of God. out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brother, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth sweet and bitter? The answer is supposed to be no, you guys. My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives, a vine or a vine fig. So neither can a fountain produce salt and sweet water. Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. But, here's the part we're getting to. But, if you have, now let me ask you this, is he talking to saved people? Can we all get that? I mean, if you bought it to the doctrine, the minute that you get born again, you are perfect and saved and holy and everything else, why did God have the apostles write this? Right? I mean, some stuff doesn't even make sense. Well, this not for today. Then why did they write it? Because they all wrote it after the resurrection. Actually, almost all of it was written after Pentecost, if not all of it also. So get rid of some of these crazy thinking. It's written because we need it. So he's talking to Christians and all this crazy stuff. When he says, stop fornicating. When you read it in the Bible, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to unsaved people, because if you try to save unsaved people's behavior, it's self-righteousness. If you pray for their heart to be converted and God live inside, then they'll have the authority and power to stop sinning. Do you know that hell is hot whether you go there living a perfectly wonderful good life? It cracks, a lot of people say they were a good Christian, as if the other person wasn't a good Christian, as if you were called to judge if they were a good or bad Christian. There's really no good or bad. Are you a sanctified believer? Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit, getting out what is supposed to come out? You are if you're here. If you're listening to this, if you're here, you are. I mean, this isn't like happy, happy, happy. We're not here, you know, trying to get rich. Although if you get all this stuff out of your heart, you'll be amazed at how God will show you how to get wealth. All right. So, who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his good behavior in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, this is what we're dealing with tonight, bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Okay. One of the spirits that covers up even from you jealousy, bitterness, and contention is a lying spirit and a boasting spirit. Oh, that's not me. I never do that. That can't be me. Did you not see what I did? Do you not know? Okay, so know this. You got to get rid of that first. You have to tell it to stop. You got to say, in Jesus' name, quit justifying yourself. Okay, that lying spirit justifies. Oh, well, I just said that because they did this. Or if they didn't, stop. Stop lying. Stop lying to yourself. Okay? Stop lying to yourself. Stop boasting about yourself and recognize it. I'm boasting. I'm not dealing with this. I must have some bitterness. Now, let me tell you, bitterness is a root of evil, and we're getting to all that, but there's only two roots of evil, the love of money and bitterness. There's a bitter root. Bitterness is where the seed of the lie of the enemy gets in, and it starts to go through your whole body. I can't trust God. I can't trust people. I can't do this. And it just makes you such a negative, murmuring, complaining, fearful person. God's got to get that thing out. All right, we got teaching on that. All right. Jealousy. If you have jealousy and contention, some things in the Bible are kind of married. I mean, you see them together all the time. Now, I wouldn't have thought that I had jealousy, but I knew until God revealed it to me that I had contention. What's contention? Judging things as superior or inferior, okay? How do you know if you do that? If you drive by a house and it's brick and it's pretty and it's got a big fancy yard and nice trees and you think to yourself, that is a much nicer house than what I have. What are you doing? You are comparing what you have to what somebody else has. That is contention. Oh, did I get everybody's attention now? America is set up to be very contentious. Everything's a fight. Everything is strife. Everything's a judgment. Everything's about money. Everything's about education. Everything, nah, very little's about people. Made in the image of God. Being who God's called them to be. I think Solomon said something like he'd rather live in an attic than with a wife, which he had lots of, who was always complaining. He'd rather live on the roof. He's basically saying, take the mansion, take the gold, take the silver, take the fancy stuff, everything that had Queen Sheba going, woohoo, and shut this woman up. So I want us to kind of go deep in this for doing healing, because I think when we taught this before, I think it's very good. The teaching is more powerful as far as really letting you see some stuff. But if you have contention, you do have jealousy. Now, why are we teaching this now when we've taught this before? What has happened since we taught it before that's opened us up to deeper revelation healing? Meekness. Meekness is letting God fight all of your battles, take care of you, and protect you. All right, let's face it. Most of us have been meek, and most of us never even understood it before. How many know what I'm talking about? I never understood it before. Humility is complete dependence on God. Okay, humility is not meekness. But if you're meek, you're going to be humble. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, but there's different levels or degrees, so to speak, of even all of these revelations, okay? Now, Jesus' meekness was that he could let them do everything they wanted to him. And he completely only obeyed the Father and did not let any evil in his heart. It looked like he lost, but the winning for each of us is not letting evil in our hearts, okay? So meekness is a complete dependency on God to protect us, take care of us, defend us, and make the way of escape, even when it looks like we failed to everybody else. Okay? Now, since we got free, or we're getting free from our coping, the way we've coped with false strength can look like this. I'm just going to hide and not talk about anything, not let anybody get too close. That's a false strength. That's how you handle pain. It can be like, nobody's going to mess with me. You think up. You know, who do you think you are? It can be any extreme. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of us, if not all of us, have taken on some way to handle and cope with things. Now, what's happening, we've seen that, especially if you have the teaching, we've renounced it, and now it's out of the way. And now it's like the Holy Spirit's going in like, now let me set you free from jealousy. Now let me set you free from this. Because your false strength kept it protected.